Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This episode of the Candlestick Kids is brought to you by Bet Online. All eyes are back on the gridiron and his teams are back for another football season. And as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. With the new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, Bet Online continues to be your number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use the mobile app and sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE to receive your bonus. For football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast on the Fantasy Focused YouTube channel. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. My co-host today is my dog, Sonny. Shout him out in the back. We're here to bring you key injuries and player trends that you need to know before you set your lineups tomorrow. First off, if you're joining me on here, you're on the Fantasy Focus YouTube page. If you're following me on Instagram and watching me from that weird side view, thank you for joining. We're breaking this down. Make sure you're joining us every Sunday live. Tomorrow, don't forget, Start Sit Show from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern every Sunday. Make sure you're joining us on there, guys. We'll be doing 3 hours straight of Start Sits. And don't forget that we're now partnering with Good Sports. It's a youth charity organization that actually helps kids in underprivileged communities play sports by providing equipment. So 10% of all the donations that come through our Super Chat or our TCK Pod Venmo account is now going to Good Sports. A really good opportunity. We're also going to be doing giveaways. Join us. Become a Super Chatter. And we'll be giving you TCK/Fantasy Focus swag. We've given out helmets, signed helmets. We've given out TCK hats. Make sure you join us on the Sunday Live, guys. And we have a lot of fun. Buck, Sky, me, Ryan, Jordan, all of us will be available for you there. Make sure you're also following us on Instagram at TCK Pod, the Candlestick Kids, at Bob, it's Fantasy Football X Factor. Also, Fantasy Focus on Instagram, on Twitter, at my name, Bobby LaMarco, at Sky Gawasco, at Fantasy Focus, at Buck59, at J Del Valley on Twitter as well. So make sure you're joining, following all the TCK team and Fantasy Focus guys on their YouTubes and their social medias. And we're also on TikTok. I do my best. I threw out a couple short videos, kind of warming everybody up for today and what we're going to talk about, which is player trends and key injuries. And before we do, I want to make sure we're shouting out all our sponsors and all our partners. We also partnered with Fantasy Football Network. If you haven't subscribed yet, great channel. All our episodes are streamed on there, but you also can find some great, great content from Boom Bust Fantasy and those guys on the Fantasy Football Network. We're also a part of the Believe Podcast Network. So if you listen to the audio side, make sure you go to the Believe Podcast website. They have hundreds of other sports podcasts. Great spot. So shout out to our partner. And all our shows are brought to you by BetOnline.ag, as we say in the intros. All right, folks, let's get into this. We're going to talk today a little bit about some key injuries, and we're also going to talk a little bit about some of the player trends that I found that are starting to change. I mean, a lot of things happening week to week. The goal of the player trend section is to identify outliers and see if they happen again the next week. Sometimes they don't. I mean, I've honestly had a couple things happen over the last couple weeks where I've identified as a player trend that is an outlier from previous weeks, and the next week it kind of goes back to normal. So I want to make sure that we're tracking this information and we start seeing repetitive data. That's when we can find guys to buy and sell based on their usage on the field. But let's talk about some injuries first. Now, we start off the top. We have Oh man, wait, hold on a second. Yeah, week 7. Panthers, Dolphins, Falcons. Sorry, everybody. I got a little confused there for a second. Anyway, it looks like key returns for the Dolphins and Falcons game. Xavien Howard is going to be back. That's notable for Calvin Ridley, and that is something to watch. Obviously, Calvin Ridley is still a player that's going to be rock solid in a week with all these buys. But Xavien Howard and Byron Jones also was out last week are both going to be back. That's good news for the out wide boundaries for the Dolphins defense and notable for Calvin Ridley. Maybe not a DFS play this week, just season long. Devontae Parker is back. That is notable. It should impact Mike Gesicki and Jalen Waddle, as Parker does demand a decent target share, as the other guys have not so far this season. On the Falcons side, players that are out, and we talked about this last week, Isaiah Oliver, the slot cornerback for the Falcons, is out. He's on IR. So that's a Jalen Waddle thing. Jalen Waddle has been red hot lately, obviously because of the fact that Parker has been out. There's been more demand for his services. Caught 2 touchdowns last week against Jacksonville. But at the same time, listen, the Falcons have been good against slot corners this season. But with Isaiah Oliver out, that could be notable. They did just 2 weeks ago against the Jets shut down Jamison Crowder. So I'm thinking maybe it's more of a scheme thing than just a slot corner. But if you need to use Jalen Waddle, I think that's a notable injury. Also, the Falcons will be down one of their tackles this week. Like we talk about all our player trends, defense and offensive line, there's very few difference makers. There's the Aaron Donalds of the world that when they're out, they're big time. And you know that. But unless you start seeing 2-3 injuries across the line, we don't really typically highlight them unless we feel that it's going to be a huge impact to the game. So overall, there is some injuries up front for the Falcons, but I don't think against a Miami weak Miami run defense, the Mike Davis, Cordell Patterson combo will do enough in this game, especially with the corners back. They could need to lean on guys as well. And also on the Falcons, don't forget, Russell Gage is back. And I don't want to bring – I should bring this up because I'd be doing a disservice if I don't. But the Miami Dolphins are extremely bad against slot receivers. They allow a lot of points to the slot, and that's where Russell Gage will be. So, you're probably not going to start Russell Gage. But if you found yourself just completely decimated with injury, I mean, recently, a good example of this, I had Antonio Brown, I got Deontay Johnson, Amari Cooper, Stephon Diggs, all on bye, and I was looking for a wide receiver 4 to play in a deeper league, and I'm like, I'm on Austin Brown, Russell Gage is an option. Those are the kind of things you have to think about. Russell Gage does have a plus matchup in his welcome game back this season. Let's jump down to the Giants versus the Panthers. The Giants, first off, we already know about the big names. Saquon Barkley, Kenny Galladay, Kadarius Toney. Darius Slayton is questionable, might be returning this week. If Darius Slayton is out, the guy that really the judge, jury, executioner of this pass game is going to be Sterling Shepard, because also DMP on Friday is Evan Ingram. He's looking doubtful for this game. That's another game on our Sunday Live Start Sit Show. Make sure you're joining us between, I would say, just join us between 8:30 and 9. That's when we start breaking down all the injuries and when the questionable players are out and what the impact is for the game. So really a lot of benefits than just start sit questions that come from our Sunday Live show. But it looks like Evan Ingram could be out. I think that Sterling Shepard is even in a tough slot matchup versus the Carolina Panthers, I think you got to get Sterling Shepard in your lineup. He's a target vacuum in this offense. And with all these injuries, the other guy on the list that DraftKings only, because DraftKings gives you better discounts on their site for players, is Dante Pettis. Dante Pettis took over as the number 2, so the second most targets, second most routes last week when Kadarius Toney went out. Thought that was notable. If Slayton comes back, I think Slayton is somebody. I know it's really tough with these hamstring injuries, but I think Slayton would be a nice play as a wide receiver 4 this week if you need it, because if he comes back, the Panthers are more susceptible to outside receivers this season. For the Panthers side, of course, we all know about CMC, Chuba Hubbard. At this point, you don't need me to talk about it. But Terrace Marshall is out. Now, the Giants are good. The Giants are a very good set. They're starting to get their form back. It looks James Bradbury, Adoree Jackson are kind of the combo we thought they would be this season. So they have actually been holding players under average when it comes to fantasy points for the receiver position. But at the same time, no Terrace Marshall. And then also their backup slot receiver, he's actually out too. This means Alex Erickson is going to be the slot receiver. I think Robbie Anderson is somebody who, at this point, he's getting insane amount of targets. Drops are drops. Drops don't repeat week to week. Targets do, and I think with the Terrace Marshall injury and being out with a concussion, you know, I think he could be. I think Robbie Anderson is someone you consider as well. There's a lot of tough decisions this week because we have to go deep into the pool, but I think Robbie Anderson, you probably could find him on waivers too. Plug him in as a wide receiver four. He's getting the targets. The matchup is average, just slightly below average, but still winnable, especially if they try to take DJ Moore away. Jets-Patriots. Now, the Patriots, they're returning. Their offensive line is getting healthy. And this matchup against the Jets screams Damian Harris. The Jets' run defense is not the same run defense it was from years prior. They are not good anymore. And the Patriots' offensive line has figured it out without their studs. And now they're getting most of the guys back. The only guy that's not going to be back is Trent Brown. So all these returns just tells me that Damian Harris is going to be in your lineups. He's a great play this week against a weaker Jets run defense. The slot corner for the Patriots is out. The Patriots are a slot funnel defense for wide receivers. What does that mean? Jameson Crowder, Braxton Berrios, for example, in week two against this Patriots team had 7 receptions for 70-plus yards. PPR dynamo that day. I think Jameson Crowder can repeat similar performance. Historically speaking, though, as a Jet, he has not performed against the Patriots. And I've always been big on look at the history before you start diving into players. But at the same time, this is notable. Jameson Crowder, great wide receiver 3 this week because of the injury to Jonathan Jones. The Jets will be out without C.J. Mosley as well. Another feather in the cap for Damian Harris. I know Ramaje Stevenson, we'll talk about him in the player trend section, is getting more work. But Damian Harris this week, guys, I think he's a rock solid RB2 in this matchup. Ravens-Bengals, Sammy Watkins is out. Latavius Murray is out. They're playing a Cincinnati defense, though. It's pretty good, actually. They actually have been holding – no one's really gone off against Cincinnati. It shows in their numbers. But Devonta Freeman is the guy that I think is going to take the lead role. But I think Le'Veon Bell is going to get 5 carries. Williams is going to get 5 carries. Freeman might get 8 or 9. And the defense – this offense, this defensive line and the Cincinnati run defense is legit. So I think – Freeman's a desperation play. He's like the last guy. He is going to get touches, and I think that is something you can use for fantasy, and I'm not saying you can't, but he's not the one of the guys that I'm going to go out of my way to start in this matchup, so I'm fading him. But the other guy that's interesting is Rashad Bateman. We'll talk about him in the player section because Sammy Watkins out. He ran the third most routes on the team, and it wasn't really productive, but he had 4 receptions on 6 targets, 20-something yards against the Chargers. And the Chargers are the toughest, one of the toughest matchups for wide receivers this season. This week, his matchup against the Bengals is average. So I think his production is going to go up. And I think I actually scooped him up and pit him over Amon-Ra St. Brown as my wide receiver 4 this week. So let's hope that's a thing. Bengals side, they don't have any injuries. We're moving on. Washington football team versus the Packers. Washington football team, no Curtis Samuel still. They're going to be without Cam Sims. This is locked in De'Ami Brown, and De'Ami Brown has now surpassed Adam Humphries, and they're trusting this kid in this game. Now, remember, the key thing for the Packers is Jair Alexander's out. Kevin King is returning, though. But at the same time, they're susceptible to out-wide receivers. This has been a problem for them all year. They are very good against slot receivers, and they're very bad against boundary receivers. I think Terry McLaurin, probably an auto start. I mean, DFS play. I mean, I'm like all in. But De'Ami Brown is someone deeper name that you can monitor this week because of the injuries to the receiving core. Plus, the Washington football team is now 2 starters on the offensive line. We talked about this kind of happened last week. We didn't see Antonio Gibson play well. They're banged up on the offensive line. That's caused some problems for the run game. JD McKissick started getting a lot more work. That shin starting acting up. The run game matchup is fine against the Packers. They are not good because they're going to be missing Preston Smith, who's potentially out because he was DNP on Friday. That's notable. And I think that you got to start Antonio Gibson because of all the buys. The matchup is fine. You cannot – this shin thing, there's not a single person, even Pro Football Doc, says that he's just got to manage the injury. He's not going to go – I don't want to say he's not going to get worse, but it's not going to get any better necessarily. But last week, they didn't need him, right? Because they fell behind to the Chiefs. I guess it could happen against the Packers. I get it. Antonio Gibson's a tough start this week, but I think I'm rolling with him. I just think that the matchup's good. Green Bay does not stop the run. And if Preston Smith's out, that's just a better little boost for him as well. Chiefs Titans. Okay. So here's some interesting stuff about the Chiefs Titans game. Of course, Darrell Williams, stud, stardom, great usage last week. We'll talk about him in the players' trends. The Chiefs are kind of like this weird enigma because they're getting Chardarius Ward back, which is good news for their boundary. He's one of their best cornerbacks. So having him back in the lineup should help, you know, try to slow down A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, but I just don't really see that happening. I think this could be a high-scoring affair for both teams. Chris Johnson is back, too. Chris Jones is back, the defensive tackle, but they lose Anthony Hitchenson, but Jones is the linchpin. So I just think Derrick Henry, it's going to be ridiculous. I think Derrick Henry, the question comes, are you going to play him in DFS? I played him a lot last week, and that helped. This is the number one in my run game metric. He's the number one matchup, so I think it doesn't make sense, but he's going to be ridiculously expensive. So I don't know if you can fade him or not, but this is insane. Tyreek Hill's likely to play. Travis Kelce, they already said, is in. Joe Thuney is DMP on Friday, one of their better guards. That could be something, but I think this matchup – I mean, listen, the Tennessee Titans last week, you know, they showed a little bit on defense. It wasn't as terrible as we thought it would be against Buffalo. So they did shut down Zach Moss and Devin Singletary last week, so maybe they can continue to do that, but I'm not going to sit Darrell Williams in this matchup. On the Titans side, they are going to be down two corners. I know Caleb Farley is the one that got all the pub, and the kid was, you know, it's a tough break for him. But they also lost Christian Fulton as well. And that's two of their secondary, their corners now that are out. You know, wheels up on Tyreek Hill. Mecole Hardman is someone that you could probably get into your lineups to this week because of the injuries to the cornerback position plus his usage. But, you know, DeMarcus Robinson sometimes gets more routes. It's a little sketchy to me, to be honest with you. So I think I'm leaning just go with Tyreek Hill, play him in your DFS lineups. If he's in your DFS lineups this week. And then Chester Rogers is out. That's a slot receiver. N'Keal Westbrook, Akili, whatever his name is, Nick Westbrook, he played the slot last week when Chester Rogers went out. Now, the Chiefs are a wide funnel defense. They are very good against slot receivers. They are not good against players out wide. So I'm not going to chase Westbrook this week. But if Rodgers is out for an extended period of time, this kid's going to be on the field as a slot receiver in better matchups. I actually would consider him to play in this game. So before I continue, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to introduce our brand new sponsor, one of our brand new sponsors, Care Factor. Be right back after this.
Hey, TCK Potters and Fantasy Focus community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Carafactor. Carafactor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Care Factor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mycarafactor.com. That's shop.mycarafactor.com. Care Factor, skincare for hair.
All right, folks, that's Care Factor, one of our new exciting partners. We had a question about Julio. Julio is in this week, folks. It sounds like he's good to go. He'll be in, ready to rock. Ryan Tannehill is one of my favorite starts of the week at the quarterback position if you're missing one of those Josh Allen, Dak Prescott players. Clap nuts. Love it for the kids at home. Did ask a question. Just got offered Tyler Lockett, T. Higgins, CEH, and Jazicki for Travis Kelce. Full PPR thoughts. That's a lot of players. That's a question that you need to have both rosters up. I personally, if you have a solid tight end behind him, you got to understand this is a question. You're trading for Lockett, who might not be good for another 2 to 3 weeks without Russell Wilson. T. Higgins, listen, T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd with the low pass volume, which we'll talk about in a little bit, have not been consistent. CEH is banged up for a couple more weeks. Jazicki is fine. So I think it just really comes down to the fact that how bad is your team that you need a bunch of players that are not going to impact you right away. So I think if you're 5-0, 6-0, you're probably 5-0. I mean, 5-1, 6-0, you're probably that for a reason. You probably have a good team, so I wouldn't bother. But if you're 3-3 or 2-4, you can't make this trade. You can't trade for a bunch of players that are not going to help you right now. So I think either way, I'm going to fade this trade and keep Travis Kelce. Thanks, Clap Nuts. Appreciate you, man. All right, jumping back in. Rams versus the Lions. Darius Williams is out again. This is key because, remember, Jalen Ramsey was the slot cornerback. That's not the case anymore. With Williams out, he actually played more on the outside this week. That's going to help Amon-Ra St. Brown in the middle of the field. He will face the backup corner more. I mean, yes, Ramsey still played about, 35% of his snaps in the slot. But overall, he's not the primary slot cornerback anymore because of the injury to Williams. I think Amon-Ra St. Brown, he is someone that you can consider against the Rams, especially because, Matthew Stafford's going to want to put up a show. Jared Goff's going to maybe be a little, want to give it to him a little bit. But I think Amon-Ra St. Brown in PPR leagues is fine. Johnny Mundet, the backup tight end, is out. I think that for me, I think this is Tyler Higbee. At this point, he's out there running a bunch of routes, but it's just all going to Cooper Kupp. It's just you're banking on a touchdown with Higbee. I mean, he's fine. I mean, he gets you 4 or 5 catches, 40-something yards. I mean, for tight ends, that's all we can really ask for on a consistent basis. But I think you just plug him in there and just roll with it. I think the injury to his backup tight end should help his usage as well overall. Jumping on to the Raiders and Eagles, Jonathan Hankins is coming back. That's really all I got from them. Texans, Cardinals, Justin Britt will be back this week. And why is this important? Justin Britt, the starting center for the Texans, is because the Cardinals are decimated on the defensive line. Now, I know a lot of people are excited to start them this week, and they are, in my metric, the number one defense. But here's notes. Corey Peterson, Zach Allen, Chandler Jones, Rashad Lawrence, Jordan Hicks, all potentially out this week. That's basically, 4 or 5 of their top 7 or 8 defensive linemen that are not going to be able to play this week. Essentially, it's going to be J.J. Watt out there, which is fine. But this is notable. This is notable for the ground game. This is notable for Davis Mills and Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks, I think, is a great play this week against the Cardinals. Game flow should definitely help his volume. But all these injuries up front, I know Mark Ingram, you're not going to start at all. I don't think you can start Mark Ingram because of Davis Mills. But it is notable, to say the least, that this is going to be a banged-up defensive line. So maybe if you're desperate, let's say you do have a couple guys. Let's say you're a Zeke owner and Eckler, and you got those guys on bye, and you need a running back. I think Mark Ingram should be considered. If you're going to consider Devonta Freeman, I think I would play Mark Ingram over Freeman. There's my bold call for the week. Also, Dan Daniels is out. Why is that important? The tight end. Zach Ertz is going to be a necessity out there. Max Williams, of course, done for the season. The backup tight end, Dan Daniels, is out. I think they've been using Demetrius Harris as two as a tight end, but I think Zach Ertz is going to be walking into a lot of usage this week in this game. So I like Zach Ertz as a low-end tight end one for this matchup. Bears versus the Bucks. Damian Williams will be back. It sounds like Khalil Herbert has earned his role, but at the same time, it's going to be a split now. They're going up against the Bucks. I'm not really excited to start these guys because now they're splitting work. You're going to have to bank on the passing game, and I think that favors Damian Williams. I think Damian Williams is the better passing player. I think he's better in pass pro, better receptions, receiving the ball. So I think Damian Williams might be a slightly better play because of the fact that you got to beat them through the air with running backs and not just straight up run it at them. So that's key there. But also out for them is might be missing two safeties. That's pretty notable. They're going to be missing Deshaun Gibson, Deion Bush, Akeem Hicks on the defensive line, and also Robert Quinn on the defensive line. This is a really banged up Bears defense, and I think that helps guys like O.J. Howard. Now, the Bears have been tough against tight ends this season. They held down like Darren Waller, for example, to a very modest game. But at the same time, two missing safeties, no Antonio Brown, no Rob Gronkowski. Now, keep in mind, O.J. Howard was – I have to temper expectations. I do, because – he still was a part-time player. He actually ran less routes than Cameron Brate last week. So, yes, he did perform, but he's still a part-time player. That's a little bit of a red flag. But if you're desperate because of all the bye weeks, O.J. Howard is someone you could play. No AB. The injuries to the safeties, I think he's someone you could throw a dart flow at. Also, keep in mind, the Bears might be DNP on Friday. They're missing Blau Nichols and Khalil Mack. So let's watch that for Sunday Live, because if those guys are out too, I mean, geez, Leonard Fournette wheels up all day. Brady and company should be able to handle business with all these injuries. They should be able to cover that spread. On the Bucs side, Charlton Davis, we like to talk about a lot, has been out. The Bucs has really struggled. Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson. Listen, I understand Darnell Mooney. You know, when you look at the numbers last week, fantasy-wise, Darnell Mooney was better. I understand. But he caught the touchdown. If you look at the actual stats, they had the same amount of targets. One more reception for Mooney, more yards for Allen Robinson, but the touchdown went to Mooney. I mean, that's just dumb luck. So when you look at the matchup, you have to view them the same. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's literally splitting hairs. In my article I wrote this week, I talked about Darnell Mooney. But when I'm looking through the data with Justin Fields, it's nearly identical. I mean, Mooney is outperforming him. And yes, I lean Mooney over Robinson because Robinson actually plays the slot. And he plays about 50-50, and Darnell Mooney's now full outside. And that's where Bucs are really struggling. So with no Charlton Davis, I lean Mooney. But both these guys could be, you know, wide receiver fours this week. And I would take Mooney with the upside for wide receiver three. Lavonte David is also out. That's good news for this for the running backs out of the backfield. David would be probably the main guy to stop them. So I think that's key as well. JPP, DMP on Friday. Could be something for the pass rush. But moving on. Colts, 49ers. The Colts are going to be down. No Paris Campbell, no T.Y. Hilton. Now, when you look at that, in week two, when there was no Paris Campbell, Jack Doyle saw 33 routes, 8 targets, and had a very good day. Now, over the last couple weeks, it's been a full-on three-way committee. And Jack Doyle and Mo Alie-Cox have split routes. But Mo Alie-Cox has become the more prominent in the passing game. So, logic would say that Mo Alie-Cox should benefit from these two receivers being out because the drop-off from those two guys to the next receiver is not as – it's a pretty big one. So I think Mo Alie-Cox, the tight ends are more involved. It's the problem is Jack Doyle got the work in week two. So temper your expectations, but, you know, still notable. They're swapping out safeties for the Colts. Julian Blackman, who's actually one of their best run defense guys, is out, and they're bringing back Andrew Sandejo. But it's a little boost for Elijah Mitchell, I think, at overall. Rock Ya-Sin also out, so that means two of the starters in the secondary. I love Debo this week. Try to get Debo in your DFS lineups. I think Debo is going to – I'm going to try to get him in mine. I really like him. On the 49ers side, you know, Trey Lance out, Jimmy G back in, more of a traditional style offense. I think that also boosts the other players as well, and also Elijah Mitchell. And then – Trent Williams is out. That's actually big. This is their left tackle. He'll be out. The Colts do have some talent up front, so I think that could be something worth noting. But overall, I think I'm still rolling with Debo, and I'm going to be rolling with Elijah Mitchell in this matchup. And then Javon Kinlaw, like I said, up front guys, when there's two or three or more, we start looking at that stuff. Finally, the Saints and the Seahawks for Monday night. In that game, Deontay Harris, Taysom Hill are out. Taysom Hill means that it's going to be full-on Jameis Winston. And the Seattle Seahawks have been a little bit hit or miss this season and very susceptible to slot receivers. Now, I'm going to tell you just the most random thing in the world. Do what you want with it. But Kenny Stills led the team in slot routes 2 weeks ago when Deontay Harris went out. The Seahawks are very susceptible to slot receivers. Talk about a DK only. DraftKings only dart throw receiver. Kenny Stills. I think he's going to get like some points. He's probably going to be like a $2,000 too on DK. It's going to be insane. But Taysom Hill being out, I think that opens the door. My stud of the week, Alvin Kamara. Love him. The Seahawks do get one of their offensive linemen back as well, but I'm just not excited for Geno. Yes, they're going back home, but really they didn't show enough against the Steelers, so I'm fading. I listen, you can play. DK Metcalf is going to see a lot of Marshawn Lattimore. Then it's Bradley Roby versus Tyler Lockett. Not a great matchup either. Not feeling it. I just don't really know. Alex Collins banged up a little bit. And then on top of that, the Saints defensive line and their run defense is ridiculous. So I'm going to temper expectations for Metcalf and Lockett. Metcalf, I would still play as a wide receiver three. Lockett, maybe I would try to get away from. So that's just how I feel about that. And try to fade Geno Smith and, of course, Alex Collins, if you need him. You know, I'm not really feeling it too much, but if you got, he looked really good, and if you have to start him, go right ahead. All right, that's our injuries for updates for this week. Before we get into player trends, We have another sponsor we want to highlight today, and it's Jersey Jungle. We'll be back right after this.
Are you a merchandise maniac or jersey junkie like myself? You need to check out The Jersey Jungle. They handle their business on Instagram at The Jersey Jungle. You can use their promo code TCK for 10% off of one or two jerseys, 15% off of three or more jerseys. Now, if you've been watching the show for this season or a couple seasons, you know that my backdrop, if you're streaming live with us on video, you know my backdrop is always a couple of jerseys. Those jerseys are coming from The Jersey Jungle. They're high quality stitch and twill jerseys. I collect NFL jerseys, but I'm also a baseball guy. So I have baseball jerseys as well. I collect Hall of Fame jerseys. I have a Jackie Robinson. I have a Ken Griffey Jr. I have a Willie Mays jersey. I got a Shohei Ohtani jersey as well because the guy has been absolutely on fire. Go get yourself a jersey. Basketball, baseball, hockey, football, college. They got rookies as well. Home, away. They have customs. They have camouflage. Whatever you're feeling, retro jerseys from any sport, go hit up The Jersey Jungle on Instagram. DM The Jersey Jungle. Use the promo code TCK for 10% off of one or two jerseys, 15% off of three jerseys. These are already half price that you're going to find on the website. They're high quality stitch and twill game authentic jerseys. Go check them out. The Jersey Jungle on Instagram.
All right, folks, that's Jersey Jungle. It's good to hear Sky's voice. Player trends. Now, I want to do a quick check on pass volume. I think this is really key. Now, when I do my opportunity analysis in the beginning of the year, if you're not familiar with it, I look at historical dropback data for every play caller. I don't care about the team. I don't care about, you know, the quarterback. What I care about is the play caller. So if a play caller changes teams, I go follow. I take his stats from his old team. So I do an opportunity analysis, and that's where I look at how to find new available targets. Now, knowing that, that is a projection. Last year was pretty accurate. I had about, I would say, over 70% of teams within five dropbacks per game. That's freaking good. So when I did this, I wanted to take a look at the variances between my opportunity analysis and some of these NFL teams. And some of them that stood out right away, teams that are well below their expectation. It's number one is the Saints. They are minus 13 dropbacks per game. That's really impacted all the skill position players, but that's not a sustainable number. I think that the Saints have fallen into some weird game flows. The first week against the Packers, they blew them out. That's going to start normalizing a little bit. I think with Jameis Winston, once Michael Thomas comes back, I think we're going to start seeing more pass volume. Who is that really going to impact, though? I think when Michael Thomas comes back, he's the main guy. Alvin Kamara will probably start seeing a little bit of a boost in PPR. But overall, it's a hodgepodge of players behind him. Cincinnati Bengals are the second one at minus 8.3 over the expectation, minus 6.3 under the expectation. This has really hurt Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. T. Higgins in the first 2 weeks scored a touchdown, but when he doesn't score a touchdown, he's been under 60 yards every single game. Tyler Boyd has had no floor. It's because Chase has been dominant, and then they don't need to throw much. I mean, listen, they are at 32.8 dropbacks per game. The league average is upwards to 40. So that is huge for them. They are expected to start seeing more volume. And I think this week, unfortunately, until we see it, we need to start evaluating Higgins and Boyd as matchup dependent. So when it's a slot funnel matchup, you play Boyd. When it's an out wide funnel, you play Higgins. Higgins does have a nice floor. He does get more targets. But I think this week you got to lean Boyd. But we'll see. This is the good thing about this data. Well, no. The next one is the Chicago Bears. This one's a little more obvious, minus 8.2 over their under their expectation with Justin Fields. The Cleveland Browns game does not help. You know, it's been a disaster there. But I think we're starting to see slow progression for Justin Fields, and the game flows will start changing. They'll start playing better teams. They'll have to be forced to throw, a.k.a. this week. I think that is going to elevate Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. I think because this is right here, we know that they're probably going to get closer to their average at some point, then Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson are key here. On the flip side, the Atlanta Falcons with Arthur Smith have been way over their expectation at 7.9 per dropbacks per game. But at the same time, that's been a necessity. The defense has not slowed anybody down. And plus, Arthur Smith was much more conservative in Tennessee. So maybe we were just off on that projection. But overall, 7.9. The next one is the Raiders. Raiders have been much pass heavier than their time previously with John Gruden and their coaching staff now. So something worth noting, but I think with Derek Carr, with the weapons, I think the change is the fact that Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs are actually playing good football and they're actually viable players on the field. So I think that's why we're seeing more pass volume there. Next one, Tom Brady. I'm not fading the Bucs. 7 dropbacks more than what we expected. Detroit, 6.8. That's all game flow. So really, those are the ones that stand out the most. But just keep that in mind in the back of your heads. The Bears, the Saints, the Bengals. Might be some buy low opportunities. Let's see how this game, let's see how this Baltimore Ravens game goes. It's going to be really hard for them to continue to not throw as much as they are. So I think that's awesome there. All right. Player trends. Let me throw up a banner. What am I doing? I got these banners I make. Don't even put them up. What am I doing? Player trends. First off, let's talk about Rondale Moore. So Rondale Moore goes and gets more routes last week. This week he falls back below Christian Kirk. Kirk is the one that dominates in the slot, 26 to 18 routes in total. With that Zach Ertz coming back, listen, the last 2 weeks, there was no tight end presence. That's going to change this week with Zach Ertz back. So I think that's huge. Rondale Moore, unfortunately, is a stash at best in this matchup. Jumping down to the Atlanta Falcons, we already talked about this stuff last week, but just keep this in mind. The Cordell Patterson, Mike Davis is basically a 50-50. But Cordell Patterson, remember, I want everyone to remember this quote here, played 14 of his 24 routes out wide. They used him as a receiver. That's going to change with Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage back. So I meant you might need to temper your expectations for Cordell Patterson this week. But at the same time, just worth noting that he played most of his snaps out wide when receiving. Baltimore Ravens. Marquise Brown is now clearly running as the alpha with Sammy Watkins out. The reason why this is important is because Watkins was getting the most routes, not Brown. Now Brown's getting more routes. He's out there more. That's only going to help his fantasy value. That makes him a buy. But of course, Sammy Watkins, his injury is temporary. But Watkins, we all know, once he gets hurt, he never comes back. So I think this is key for Marquise Brown value moving forward. Rashad Bateman comes in the first game play. He runs the third most routes on the team, 22 routes to 29 for Marquise Brown. That's big news for him that he's on the field. They trust him right away. He demanded 6 targets on the week against a very tough Chargers defense. So definitely someone you want to stash and have on your team. Let's jump down to Lat Murray's out. It's Devonta Freeman's backfield. He got 9 carries. Remember, Tyson Williams was out last week. So Williams will be back. Le'Veon Bell will be involved. So just keep that in mind. I think that I'm not trying to start Devonta Freeman if I don't have to. I actually even said that I would start Mark Ingram over him this week. Bills. Dawson Knox breaks his hand. Cole Beasley immediately goes off. We talked about him last week, 5th in routes. Now he is tied for 1st in routes. Whatever. I think at this point, if Dawson Knox misses extended time, I think Cole Beasley is going to be the one that benefits the most from this because he jumped to the top of the list. Moss versus Singletary. When it really comes down to it, these Moss is clearly running as the guy who gets the most routes now. But the thing that I thought was key here is Zach Moss continues 8-5 split for the running back carries. I think better days will happen. I think it was just a weird game for them. They just could not run the ball against Tennessee. But I think Zach Moss will have better days, but Singletary doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. Jumping out of the Bears, I talked about this a little bit earlier. A-Rob and Darnell Mooney had the same amount of targets and routes. They were right identical. And the only difference was the touchdown. I think this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I lean Mooney because he plays mostly on the outside and Robinson kind of goes half and half. But at the same time, if you're going to make an argument for Mooney, you got to put, you know, Robinson out there too versus a very winnable matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Allen Robinson also had 5 deep targets last week. 5. Like, if Justin Fields and him start connecting on deep balls, I think this is the week you got to, like, hold on to Robinson and see what happens. And, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, maybe if you can get bargain bin, like, what's a bargain bin wide receiver, like a running back? Like, if a guy needs a running, like, I don't know. I mean, I just, maybe Freeman. Like, if you could trade, like, a guy needs a running back too, trade him Freeman for the week because he needs a running back. I don't know. Some weird shit. I think Robinson is worth a shot to see what happens this week against Tampa. Jumping down to the Bengals. Tyler Boyd fell behind C.J. Uzomah and routes last week. Very weird game in that matchup. I'm concerned about the volume. I think that's the problem. I know I was really high on Boyd, but we were expecting the Cincinnati Bengals to be one of the pass heaviest offenses in football. Could not even been close. It's not even close. I think you could start Boyd this week as a wide receiver three. We're expecting the Ravens to put up points, but these AFC North games always get ugly. So I'm not even that excited about Boyd, to be honest with you. But at the same time, he's a wide receiver three this week in the slot funnel matchup that is the Ravens defense. Just jump down to the Cowboys. I'm going to skip the Browns this week. We already saw them on Thursday night. Jarvis Landry's back, baby. And Jarvis Landry's the guy. If you got Jarvis Landry, if you can go get Jarvis Landry, he's going to be awesome the rest of the season. The Cleveland Browns have very good slot matchups the rest of the season. Cowboys! Like we talked about Schultz, I have a man crush on Schultz. 38 routes to 19 in week six. He's the guy. Deep targets. When you look at the end of the box score, you know, prior to this week, Cooper versus Lamb, everyone loves CeeDee Lamb. No one likes Amari Cooper, but Cooper was the better fantasy player. Last week, it was all Lamb. It was all Lamb. But just keep this in mind. Cooper had three deep targets. He caught none of them. Lamb had three deep targets. He caught all three of them. Those are typically about a 40% conversion rate. That's going to regress back to the mean. These guys are pretty even across the board. Prior to last week, it was Cooper. CeeDee Lamb has the bigger week. But overall, this could be a buy-low window on Cooper. These guys have a great rest of season schedule. Go get these guys. I would say go get Cooper if you can. He's going to be real cheap. And no one likes Cooper. I'm like the only guy who does, so maybe I'll make some offers for Cooper. Broncos, just a quick update. Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon. I'm just going to say this for the millionth time that, like, it's a 50-50 split. And Melvin Gordon, prior to this week, was better in every category. More rushing yards, more receiving yards, more touchdowns, higher PFF rushing grade. But everyone loves Javonte Williams. Whatever. I don't even have a skin in the game. I don't care. You got Gordon three rounds later, but neither guy is consistent for fantasy. They both got touchdowns last week. Javonte ended up being a little bit better overall, but still, they needed touchdowns to get you like low double digits because they split work down the middle. Not really excited about either of these guys. Melvin Gordon's not going anywhere. So if you think he is, great, keep Williams. But if I am a Javonte Williams owner, and I know people in my league are obsessed with this guy, and it's not a keeper dynasty league, I'm trading him right away because Gordon has been just as good, if not better, because of stats. Numbers say otherwise. But anyway, Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7 targets again. Tied T.J. Hockenson in routes last week. The production was not there. Caught a 2-point conversion. That was nice. Played a tougher game. This week, the Rams matchup, remember, Jalen Ramsey's playing out wide now because of the injury to Williams. Maybe something there. I could say that. So I think that maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown in full PPR leagues could flirt with wide receiver 3 value. Swift versus Williams. I've been talking about this a lot lately. Swift has completely dominated routes. Week 6 was no different. 31 routes to 10. Honestly, J. Will is a handcuff at this point. If you have J. Will and you don't have Swift, I would reach out to the Swift owner and see what you can get for him because the numbers keep dipping and dipping and dipping. And now on top of that, Swift just got a 13 carries to just 4 for Williams. Now, we were talking about this shift. We've been talking about this for weeks, and now it's come to fruition. If you can get your hands on Swift, because he hasn't blown up yet. This guy's slow. I mean, the offense is not great, but hey, still, I think it's very notable. Swift has really done a really good job. If you're a J. Will owner, I would try to trade him, try to get something back for Jamal Williams. All right. Packers. Now, there are some numbers to back this up, but this is like a weird gut feeling. I just think that Alan Lazard is going to have a nice day this week. The matchup is good against the Washington football team. And he's second in routes, second in targets. He's also led the team in slot routes. He also led the team in deep targets last week, but he didn't catch any of them. Like I always talk about, when you start seeing 2, 3, 4, 5 deep targets and you're not connecting on, maybe if you're connecting on none of them, that changes over time because the average is 40%. I don't know. It's bold. But I like Alan Lazard this week. I think he's going to be productive. Jumping down, Aaron Jones still getting involved a lot. We talked about he was up down to 61%. He jumped up to 78% routes run versus Davante Adams. This week he went down to 69, but still very good overall. But I think the biggest takeaway for me is Alan Lazard is clearly the number 2. And Randall Cobb has kind of fallen to the wayside. He's way behind Tanyan and also Aaron Jones in routes. And I think when MVS comes back, I think he'll fall back onto the bench anyway. Texans, Nico Collins, 30 routes to 42 for Cook, saw 6 targets. Kid's got talent. The problem is Davis Mills. And Mills is better than expected. He's been good enough to keep Brandon Cooks relevant, which is great. I think as a fantasy manager, that's all we care about. But he's not good enough to support multiple receivers and a running back. He's just not. So I think Nico Collins is a stash and hope that Tyrod comes back because he's now the secured number 2 receiver on this team. Mark Ingram is just completely dominating carries. Week 5, 15-7 for the other running backs. Week 6, 18-9 for the other running backs. He's the one guy that they have a good rushing schedule rest of season. But I think he's going to get you a lot of empty games. He's going to get you a lot of, 18 carries for 60 yards, 60, 70 yards, and then no receptions. It's just not viable. But if Tyrod Taylor comes back, guys, I think it's something. I think he's a stash. I think he's fine overall. Colts, we talked about Paris Campbell and also T.Y. Hilton being out this week. This is the point. The tight ends, I wish I could say Mo Alie-Cox. I know Buck said that Mo Alie-Cox could be the guy this week, but I know just Jack Doyle, when they needed a guy to step up in week 2, it was Jack Doyle, which worries me. But look at the routes, okay? Tight end routes. So Pittman ran 22 routes last week. Doyle ran 9. Mo Alie-Cox ran 9. Kylan Grayson ran 3. It's just hard to bank on that. I know the injuries to the receiving corps. One of these guys is going to do well. I don't know which one it is. That's the problem. Marlon Mack still being involved. Jonathan Taylor, 14 carries. But I think it's coming. I think the Marlon Mack trade should be coming hopefully soon. And that will really help and impact Jonathan Taylor rest of season and Nyheim Hines. Hines is, he's just not really a factor this year as much as he was in years past because of the Phillip Rivers thing. That's why I kind of faded Nyheim Hines in most leagues this year because I figured Carson Wentz wouldn't target running backs as much. All right, before we jump into the Jags, let's take a quick commercial break. Once again, we're going to be joined by our new advertiser, Carafa.
Hey, TCK Potters and fantasy-focused community. Are you looking for options for hair loss? There are many options out there for treating it. However, most products treat the cause, such as DHT, and don't do much to support the growth of new and stronger hair. It's like removing harmful weeds from your lawn, but not doing much to fertilize the grass. That's why the Fantasy Focus and TCK team has partnered with Carafactor. Carafactor saw this problem and focused their research on finding just the right combination of biosynthetic growth factors and an innovative delivery system to promote fuller, stronger-looking hair. So whether you're a listener who suffers from various forms of alopecia or even stress-related hair loss, the Carafactor treatment is the perfect scalp-friendly solution that can help and influence stronger and healthy hair throughout all stages of the hair life cycle. And now, exclusively for TCK listeners, use the promo code TCK at checkout to get 15% off all products at shop.mycarafactor.com. That's shop.mycarafactor.com. Carafactor, skincare for hair.
All right, jumping down to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Sorry, I just hit my table. Listen, Chenault got bounced back this week. The good news is production wasn't all there. He wasn't really much of a fantasy factor. But at least he ran the second most routes on the team, saw 9 targets. But like I said, Marvin Jones is the better outside receiver. Chenault should be in the slot. The problem is Jamal Agnew is now the main slot guy. He had 5 for 78. He outproduced Chenault, even though he saw less targets. And listen, Agnew, in my opinion, in PPR leagues, should be a rostered player because we've seen time and time again the slot receiver do very well with Trevor Lawrence, and we're seeing Jamal Agnew, 5 for 78 is not a bad day at all in the game against Miami, which is a slot funnel. So I think Jamal Agnew in games where the defense is a slot funnel defense is probably a solid PPR, even a half-point PPR play in format. So James Robinson took all the running back carries. With the Jags on bye, I think he's worth a shot. I think you should just ask the James Robinson owner, at least ask what he wants, because this, to my opinion, he's getting all the work again. Like, this is exactly what happened last year. The guy finished the top 10 running back Trevor Lawrence is going to get better. He's not going to get worse. And I think that that's going to be key for them going forward. All right. Chiefs, Josh Gordon check, ran six routes. Still Mecole Harmon and DeMarcus Robinson. Robinson ran more routes. And, you know, it's just really tough to figure out which wide receiver two is going to find the end zone, who's going to have more points. I think this week's a Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce week. That's how I feel about that. Darrell Williams, 29 routes to 44 for Kelce, who led the team. Awesome usage. This guy's a complete bell cow. You know, he basically ran – he had 21 carries, all those routes. I mean, he's a slam dunk. We talked about this 2 weeks ago with CEH and how he's getting more work. Love it for him. I think he's going to be fantastic. Saw only three targets, but I think this usage is elite. I think he's a rock solid RB2 with wide receiver one, RB1 upside. The Raiders. Henry Ruggs, listen, leads the team in targets again. I love this kid's baseline now. Offers you deep targets, plays in the slot, great usage. They're trying to use him how the Chiefs use Tyreek Hill. And he's starting to get better, and I think that's really good for him. So I think that's a good sign for Ruggs' rest of season. The Raiders actually have one of the best out wide, the seventh best rest of season out wide schedule. So both him and Edwards, arrow pointing up for these guys. Edwards, like I talked about, starting to see a lot of deep targets too, but he only saw one this week. But overall, he's starting to see more deep targets down the field, and his usage. They're both playing ahead of Hunter Renfro, which is all I care about, because they trust these guys now, which I like to see. The Rams, Robert Woods does very well. I mean, listen, my biggest thing with the takeaway for this, Robert Woods was out there again leading the team in routes. Does catch the touchdown to save his day. It's still Cooper Kupp's show. I actually think you could trade Robert Woods, personally. I know people love Robert Woods, and he's done pretty well. The Giants are solid against receivers, like I touched on. So I think Robert Woods, unfortunately, is a little more matchup dependent than he was in years past. That's all it is. I think that's – he just knocks down a peg. Van Jefferson news. He took kind of back over more of the wide receiver three role. 23 to 15 in week 5, 24 to 9 in week 6. So Jackson, I was hoping, would take up more of a role, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be the case, unfortunately. I know Tyler Higbee. I like to bring up Tyler Higbee because he runs a bunch of routes, guys. I mean, the problem with Tyler Higbee is he's featured in the red zone, and that's it. And if he doesn't score a touchdown most weeks, he hurts your team. But last week, he was okay against the Giants. I think he had like 5 for 45, something in that range. But I think overall, it's disappointing that they don't use him very well in the middle of the field. Like, inside the 20s, he runs the dumbest routes. It's not even fun. When they get in the red zone, though, bam, all of a sudden Tyler Higbee's a stud. And he was very close to a touchdown last week, too, a couple times. So, yeah, I'm good with Tyler Higbee. I'm just upset. I'm upset. I thought he was going to be better. But I think he's for the tight end position, he's fine. He was like a 10th round pick. I guess he's fine. All right, let's jump down to the Dolphins. Something worth noting is Matt Collins led the team in routes, 5 targets, but Devontae Parker should be back. But if Parker misses time again, these injuries keep propping up. Matt Collins became a very prominent player, which is interesting. Seems like a coach favorite there. The Gaskin versus Browns kind of combo here with routes. Gaskin ran 14, 11 for Brown. Salvin Ahmed was back involved. I don't know why, but it's a 3-man rotation. This is reflected in the carries. 5 for Gaskin, 7 for Ahmed, 5 for Brown. In a very competitive football game against the Jets. I just don't get it anymore. I don't understand the thing with Gaskin. He's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. I just don't think he's an every down runner. I think they like him as a pass catcher, but they don't like him as a runner. So I think in games where you think Miami's a big underdog, maybe you play Gaskin. But overall, it seems like a headache to me. I don't know what's going on there. It is what it is. Jalen Waddle is fun. This kid's getting great usage. Main slot receiver. He also saw 3 deep targets against the Jags, caught none of them. Like I touch on every time, the targets will start falling. About 40% conversion rate on those. Should have caught about just over at least one of those. And I think that's going to be good for his fantasy value. He did catch 2 touchdowns last week. So the arrow's pointing up on Waddle. I like him a lot in general. Let's jump out to the Pats. A lot of new noise about Ramondre Stevenson, and he looks like he is taking over the running, the pass game role. He did run 8 routes, so let's not lose our mind here. But the top player was Hunter Henry, and Jacoby Myers with 19. So you know, still under 50%, but it's an improvement. He saw three targets, and he ran more routes than Harris, who ran four. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson is a player you should have on your bench. Harris has been getting nicked up, and this kid could be in a serious workload if something happens to Harris. So I do like Ramondre Stevenson as a bench stash. Like I just brought down, Hunter Henry led the team in routes. His gap is widened. I mean, listen, John Newey was 20-6, then it was 19-10, but he's leading. He's now the prominent fixture of this offense. I think Hunter Henry in good matchups is going to be a great play moving forward. Rush grade, running back carries, it's still Harris, guys. 18-5 for Stevenson. This week it's Harris. Go Harris all day. Don't worry. I know Stevenson is the. I know we like to find. Like we love the backups, right? We want the, because we're always pissed off about the starters. But Harris is a stud. They're getting the offensive line back. I think Harris has a big week this week. Saints. Just the key here is that Taysom Hill and Deontay Harris are out. I think Marcus Callaway against the Seattle Seahawks is a play. I think he's a wide receiver three this week. And I think my sleeper is Kenny Stills. I talked about the slot. I probably shouldn't even brought it up. Whatever. It's Saturday night. We're grooving. And I said you could probably play Kenny Stills in DraftKings daily fantasy tournaments. I guarantee he gets you value this week because no Deontay Harris. I think Kamara is my stud of the week. Get him in your DFS lineups. I love Kamara this week. No Taysom Hill, right? None of that weird shit in the red zone, right? You're going to get Kamara now in the red zone all the time. I think he has a nice week this week, folks. The Giants. Sterling Shepard ran 54 routes last week. The next player was 42. Sterling Shepard is an absolute stud. Like, he's an every week starter. 14 targets last week against the Rams. This guy is getting, he hasn't been under 9 the whole season. He's consistently dominated targets. Listen, this guy is this year's Deontay Johnson. I brought this up with Buck. He gets all the targets, none of the respect. He's going to have the high floor, and then the week he finds the end zone, he's going to win you your week. Get him in your lineups always, even in tough matchups. Booker, 12 of the 15 carries. Of course, Penny gets the rushing touchdown. That's just dumb luck. I mean, Booker was used as an every now and back. You got to put him in. I mean, his floor is like 8 points because, like, he gets all this work. And I know the Panthers have been really good against the ground games, but Booker's a nice play this week. He just got unlucky. Penny finds the end zone. That's just crap. I mean, like, he should have gotten it. He's gotten all the other work, but tough luck there. But overall, and Deontay Pettis was the number two. I think if Darius Slayton is back, I think he's an underrated wide receiver for this week. I think because the Carolina Panthers are an out-wide funnel defense, I think Darius Slayton has proven that when he gets the targets, he's good. No Kenny Golladay. No Kadarius Toney. I think Darius Slayton, if he plays, could be someone you could start in deeper leagues. The Jets. well, let's see. Jets, we talked about last week. They were on a bye. We're good. Zach Ertz. Eagles are gone. No more Zach Ertz. The Dallas Goedert game, folks. This is what we thought about, right? Like, I mean, Dallas Goedert's someone we probably all should be reaching out and try to inquire about and try to get him. Because, like, now it's just him. Like, it's going to be mostly him. And I know that Jackson kid is someone they like. But I personally think Goddard's going to be awesome rest of season. I just don't know if it's really hit yet, right? I mean, I think it's worth a shot asking, especially if you need a tight end. But anyway, moving on. Sanders versus Gainwell. Listen, 22 routes for Sanders, 11 for Gainwell. Another key factor here is Quez Watkins is now the full-time slot. Greg Ward early on in the season was taking some of that role. It's now Quez Watkins. But also, he's getting, like, deep targets. Like, this guy had 3 deep targets last week, didn't catch any. He gets deep targets. He's the slot receiver. I really like Quez Watkins. Rest of season. I think he's going to be interesting. He's outproduced Jalen Reagor. He's actually pushing Smith. I think Quez Watkins is an underrated fantasy asset rest of season based on his usage. He's using the deep pass game. He's using the slot. Greg Ward, see you later. Finally carries. Miles Sanders had all 9 rushing carries. This is the Miles Sanders week. Miles Sanders start of the week. That's in my article I just wrote for Thursday for expanded box score. Start of the week, Miles Sanders, folks. Steelers, unfortunately, which breaks my heart, is Ray McCloud took over the Juju Smith-Schuster role. Only saw 2 targets. But this guy ran the third most routes on the team. The good news is Claypool did see that slight bump, though, in slot usage. He was at 15% with Juju, bumped to 28%. That's going to help him down the road. But Ray-Ray McCloud played ahead of James Washington, which is unfortunate. But Ray-Ray McCloud might see some better days in games where they have a slot funnel defense overall. But I think you should trade for Deontay Johnson now. He's on bye. Ask the owner. Be like, hey, what do you want for Deontay Johnson? This guy's going to be an absolute beast the rest of the season. Like, he's going to be top 10 receiver, locked in, easy, pushing for top five. This guy's going to be an absolute animal rest of the season. Like, Juju Smith-Schuster demanded targets. Ray-Ray McCloud does not. So I'm feeling it. I think Deontay. Okay. 49ers, the Elijah Mitchell week, the pending doom of my life. I know Hasty is back. I know Trey Sermon's the guy that they wanted it to be. But Elijah Mitchell seems to me like, I feel like I'm missing something because I want all the Elijah Mitchell. But I feel like everyone else is kind of like, eh, well, you know, Jeff Wilson will be back in like late November. It's like, yeah, but Elijah Mitchell is kind of like, kind of has that Raheem Mostert thing going on. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I actually was trying to trade CEH to get him. I'm just feeling it. I don't know. Well, someone help me out. You guys hit me up in the comments. Tell me I'm crazy. Anyway, the Seahawks. Alex Collins, 20 of 26 carries. He is going to play on Monday. And I think the Saints matchup is tough, but this guy looks real good. And he is the guy. I think Rashad Penny's going to eat into that, though. They wanted Rashad Penny to be the guy forever. But Alex Collins has looked really good, but I think it's going to be closer to like 70-30 than it's been like 90-10 in running back carries. So I think Rashad Penny is a factor. I think Alex Collins, because of the tough matchup against New Orleans, is a fade. But overall, it's still worth knowing that he looked good in those touches. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Leonard Fournette, 37 routes to 43 for Mike Evans. 22 carries to 5 for Jones. I mean, geez, Fournette, man. Good for him. I called it last week. I said he's going to go for a touchdown. He does. Awesome. But man, oh man, dude, he's going to be great rest of the season. He's going to be awesome. This Bucs offense is great, and he's a complete dynamo. The only game he doesn't perform in is the game that Gio Bernard goes off because they were down to the Rams. O.J. Howard still ran 18 routes to 27 for Brate. This makes me a little hesitant about the O.J. Howard hype. I'm pumping up, but with no Gronk, with no A.B., I think O.J. Howard's a dart throw tight end if you need him. But he did run less routes than Brate, so that's still notable. He's a part-time player. 18 routes to 43 for Evans. He didn't even run close to 50% of the routes of Brady's dropback, so still worth doing to them. Titans, Anthony Firkser's not a factor. That's on me. He ran 41 of 49 routes 2 weeks ago. Then it was 11 routes to 26 for A.J. Brown. Not a thing. It's not a thing. My fault. Derrick Henry, though, 14 routes to 26 for for A.J. Brown. I love Derek. He's getting all the he's getting all the work on the ground. We're overlooking his pass game usage. He's out there a lot. I brought this up earlier. Julio's back. A.J. Brown's back. But Nick Westbrook, Akinis, whatever his name is, Nick Westbrook, was the slot receiver with Chester Rogers out. This could be notable. If he could take that role full-time, let's watch. Let's see how he does this game. Does have a really tough matchup against Kansas City in the slot. But worth noting, hopefully he can take that role full-time. And finally, an hour in, the Washington football team. Ricky Seals-Jones, listen, he's still got a great role, second team in routes. Deami Brown is now the number two receiver. Until Curtis Samuel gets back, it's Deami Brown, second team in wide receiver routes. 5 targets last week. An underrated play this week. We talked about the game against Green Bay. No Jair Alexander. Better out wide. They're an out wide funnel defense. I think Deami Brown's a great dart throw in DFS overall. I know the Gibson stuff is banged up and the shin is unfortunate, but I think the game against the Chiefs, why are they going to put him out there when they're down big? I mean, it makes no sense. Of course he's not going to play. McKissick was bound to take that role anyway, even if he was healthy. So I just have a gut feeling that Gibson's going to be fine. I think he's going to be good this game. I know the Packers could probably light up the Redskins too, Washington football team too. But I think, you know, I'm not as nervous as Gibson. He might be someone that you could get really cheap because people are scrambling to sell him. This might be to flip it on the head because people might be overthinking because Pro Football Doc keeps talking about the fact that he's just going to play through it. It's not going to affect his game. It's going to be pain management. So I just think, you know, I think that he could be someone to snag cheap on trade. All right, folks, that's all my player trends for today. Let's check out some start sit questions. Mitch Gust, Elijah Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, or JD McKissin at my flex. I'm going Gibson. You know, it's funny when you guys ask me these questions about players I like. I like it easier when I don't. Let me pull up my handy dandy spreadsheets. Why not, right? So let's see. So what I do is I have a couple different spreadsheets I have here, folks. I have one for running backs. I have one for receivers. But I also have one for pass-catching running backs to see how good the matchup is for pass-catching running backs. So last week, the Washington football team played Kansas City. And in my versus expectation model for pass-catching running backs, Detroit's number one, Kansas City's number two in best matchup. Green Bay is 11th. So the matchup's a little tougher for a guy like JD. And Gibson, let's see. Gibson's got Green Bay too. Such a good matchup on the ground. Go Gibson, man. I'm going Gibson. I think that he's going to be fine. I'm going to call it right now. Screw it. I said it. Go Gibson. Whatever. All right, Dennis Steven. PPR. Damian Williams is off the COVID list. I guess I can't start Herbert. Probably not. I have McKissick and Gibson. I don't want to start either. I still have Booker and Mitchell. All, who would you start? Wow, that's so many options, man. So you got Booker, Mitchell, Gibson, and McKissick. I guess I'm going Gibson. I talked about this, that I'm taking him over him. Booker against Carolina. Carolina is the toughest matchup in my metric overall this season against expectation. And I'm not going to go Booker over Gibson. So I'm still going to go Gibson. I think you got to give it one more week. He had a down week. I mean, it was a bad game flow, and I think that's it. So I'm going to go Gibson here. Let's see. One last one. Scooby Taylor, what's up, buddy? Should I trade Cup and Gibson for Aaron Jones and Marquise Brown? I love Aaron Jones. Rest of season. I really do. They're getting David Bakhtiari back too, which is just delicious. Yes. Get Aaron Jones and Marquise Brown for Gibson and Cup. And one more. For my super flex spot from Fat Golfer. For my super flex spot, I can only choose between Goff versus the Rams and Zach Wilson versus the Patriots. Who do I play? Let's check this out. So one of my analysis I do is for quarterbacks. So let's see what the spreadsheet says here, folks. I can say this. Zach Wilson's a really tough. His bottom fell out versus the Patriots the first time, but I just feel like he's going to do better. I mean, he can't do any worse than he did last time, right? Let's see. Offensive schedule. All right, let's see where the analysis. Let's see if there's any difference makers here. The Jets are, yeah, Green Bay, man. By the way, get Aaron Rodgers, guys, in your lineups this week for DFS, bro. He's going to be dope. Let's see, Jets are way down there, but the other option is Goff. Yeah, Goff's even worse. Yeesh. Yeah, go Wilson. I'm going to go Wilson in this game. I think he's going to be the way you go there. B-dubs. B-dubs up, buddy. Cordell Patterson, Jamar Chase, Darrell Williams, guys. He's a start. Must start. Darrell Williams all day and Chase. I want to see what happens with this whole Cordell Patterson. So I'm going to go Chase. The Bengals are playing the Ravens. Oh, they have a tough out wide matchup, man. Oof. And Patterson against the Dolphins, right? That's not as easy. Well, Darrell Williams is definitely in. And let's see. I love how we're just here. We're just chatting up. We're a buck 10 in. Let me just think about this. You know what? While we're here, let's talk about this. So Cordell Patterson is playing against the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins are 12th in my metric, but they're very susceptible to pass-catching running backs. They're neutral against rushers. So, with Ridley back, with Russell Gage back, I'm going to keep the high. I'm going to roll with Chase. I'm going to go Chase and Darrell Williams. And then finally, should I start Pittman? from Mitch Gust. Should I start Pittman? No. I think Buck nailed it on head. Listen to our Wednesday episode. Buck kind of nails it on the head. 49ers have figured it out against players, but against wide receivers. But I think you need to ask yourself who you're starting him over. But I think Pittman is not a must-start player this week because of the 49ers matchup on the road. In a game, I think they might have rain. So we have to check out the weather forecast. So make sure you're checking that out. All right, folks, that's it. This is Bobby LaMarco. This is Player Trends, Key Injuries. An hour and 10 minutes of just nonstop action for you folks. Make sure you're checking us out live tomorrow for our Sunday Live Start Sit Show. We are doing it from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. I'm up at 5 to get ready for it because I'm on the West Coast. And remember, we're excited to announce our relationship with Good Sports. A Good Sports is a youth, is a charity organization that helps provide equipment to underprivileged communities to help kids play sports. They've served over 27,000 kits have been sent out. 541,000 kids have been helped by Good Sports and helping them play. So we send our donations out every month. 10% of every super chat on YouTube or any Venmo from Twitch gets sent to Good Sports. So guys, thank you for joining me again. This is Bobby LaMarco. Shout out to all our sponsors: Bomb Banana, Jersey Jungle, Kara Factor, you name it. We love you. Once again, this show is brought to you by Believe Podcast Network and BetOnline AG. So this episode was brought to you by BetOnline AG on the Fantasy Focus YouTube channel. And shouts out to the Believe Podcast Network, the Fantasy Football Network, and of course, you're listening to the Candlestick Kids Fantasy Football Podcast. Thanks, guys, for joining again. I'm your host and the most, Bobby LaMarco. I'll see you tomorrow. I better see you all tomorrow on the Sunday Live Star Shit. I'm out of here. I'm tired. I'm out. See you guys later. Peace out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.